You don't usually learn from the times that everything is just clear sailing. Those are the times that you want to enjoy. That you, as I say in the joy course, don't miss it. And maybe it can give you faith and trust and opening to all the blessings in your life and just seeing how beautiful life can be and how fortunate we can be sometimes and open us up to the grateful heart. But it's usually in the hardest times that we grow and we learn. How many people have learned strong, important lessons going through their hard times? Anybody? That's how. So when you're going through the hard times, don't miss it. Not, oh, aren't I wonderfully fortunate to have all of this difficulty, but what can I learn? What can I learn right now? How can I find meaning in this? And as long as you're learning, there are no mistakes. Nothing is wasted. As the Buddha says in his advice to his son Rahula in one of the suttas, number 61 in the Middle Length Discourses, he says, you might do something really unskillful. Likely you will in your life. Don't start beating yourself up for having made those mistakes. If you beat yourself up and you just feel guilty for the mistakes you've made, then you're just continuing to punish yourself. And he says, instead of guilt, have what's called wise remorse. Wise remorse, which is seeing, what can I learn from this? To feel the pain of what you've done and to dedicate your future actions to doing it a different way. And you can dedicate the merit of waking up to the benefit of perhaps whoever was on the receiving end. And of course, if you can make amends, it's so helpful to clean the slate and sincerely apologize. Or, as the Buddha says, also to find a wise person to confess to them. But if you keep on beating yourself up, it simply leads to a cycle of self-punishment. And you either keep on doing the very same thing to confirm what a rotten person you are, or feel hopeless in the possibility and are at the mercy of that contracted mind state. And just think about it, how many supposedly wise beings have fallen. How many Roshis or Rinpoches or Ajahns, how many great teachers have gotten confused? There's no guarantees. Supposedly, if you attain first stage of enlightenment, you can't create harm. But I've seen some very wise beings, or beings who have a lot of wisdom come through them, who then create harm through ignorance. Whether it's in Buddhism or in Christianity or any faith, Hinduism, any faith, Judaism, Islam. There's no guarantee when somebody takes a seat and seems to be a carrier of wisdom that they won't make mistakes. And in fact, there's one teaching from Padmasambhava in the Tibetan tradition. Supposedly the person who brought Buddhism from India to Tibet. And he talks about having the deep understanding of emptiness, the deep kind of wisdom that sees the emptiness of things, and also the importance of understanding the consequences of our actions, the law of karma. And he has this one line, he says, "Though my view is as vast as the sky," that is, my view of emptiness and the selfless nature of reality, "though my view is as vast as the sky, my attention to the law of karma is as fine as a grain of sifted barley flour." And the Dalai Lama was asked, "What's more important, understanding emptiness or understanding karma?" And he said, "If you've got to choose between the two, go for karma. Because if your understanding of emptiness is not complete to the point where you might do some unskillful things because you don't attend to the law of karma, you can start facing in the wrong direction and fall off that pedestal and be creating some very bad circumstances for yourself. But if you are clear about the law of cause and effect and saying, I don't want to intentionally create harm for myself or for others, you keep on facing in the right direction, and eventually you will wake up to the deepest understanding of emptiness. So, being humbled. This is a process of purification with every time you learn a little bit more. And when you look back on your life and you look back and you see, oh my goodness, how could I have done that? Have you ever looked back on your life and done that? I've done plenty. When I first started doing loving kindness practice and loving kindness retreats, and you're saying to yourself, oh, may I be happy, may I be peaceful, may I be filled with love. And what often happens is all your old memories come up. You know, may I be happy and share my love well. You know, oh no, I can't believe I did that. Yeah. And it could be really, really humbling. But one thing that I find helpful is to see if I'm cringing and I'm feeling really yucky about reflecting back, not with guilt, but just with what's called in the teachings hiri and otapam, to wholesome states that are usually translated as moral shame and moral dread. These are wholesome states. We call them conscience. When you look back and you say, oh my goodness, ooh, that was a bit off, then it means that you're no longer the same person. Hi, where are you? Hello? Hi. Thank you. And in the future, could you sit near the back if you're going to be needing to leave early? Thank you. If you look back and you're cringing, you're no longer the person that did that. You've changed. You've grown. Even if for a few moments you can forget and be back in the third grade or do something again that falls off the pedestal, if you're cringing, it's a good sign. As long as you don't add on all of the self-judgment and self-hatred and self-loathing that's guaranteed to lock it in. And so, how to work with this being humbled and seeing, holding it in a different way. And this is where you really need to open up to letting in with a wise heart, understanding what you can learn from your mistakes. This is from Portia Nelson. Some of you might be familiar with this. This is called Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find a way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, I walk down another street. That's what we're doing. We're learning. As long as you're learning, there are no mistakes. And little by little, you start to deepen that understanding, as long as each time you can hold with compassion, just like you'd hold a little child who got lost. If you saw a little boy or a little girl really giving themselves a hard time and having done something that they really feel bad about, what do they need? They don't need more scolding. Come on, kid, get it together. Even just hearing that, you might say, oh, no, don't say that. You know, they need to be held. It's okay. You're basically a decent, a good person, little one. You just forgot. You just got lost. And that's what we need as well. You just need to hold yourself with kindness, with compassion, and see, what can I learn from this? And to be willing to allow yourself to open up to it. Because often we can just be lost in denial. Oh, no, 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 I can't, I don't want to go there. I can't believe I did that. Or we get defensive. And to truly cop to what we've done, there's a tremendous kind of relief. You know that you're right on the cusp, somebody kind of busts you on something, and there can be a kind of like, you know, getting around it, or, well, I didn't really mean to, or this is why I did this, and, you know, well, if you just simply hear, oh, I'm so sorry. The human heart wants to forgive. Or if you hear or you say, I'm so sorry. It was, I'm remembering when I was, when my son Adam was young, and we used to watch Sesame Street together. And there was this song that was like a theme song. And it was, Everyone Makes Mistakes. It was, Everyone makes mistakes, oh yes they do. Your sister and your brother and your dad and mother too. Big people, small people, matter of fact, all people. I haven't sung the whole verse in a long time. It's just coming to me. Everyone makes mistakes, oh yes they do. And when I'd make a mistake, that was my theme song. You know, when he'd make a mistake, I'd remind him too, and say, "Okay, well, let's do it better next time." But when I would make a mistake, or I'd lose my patience, or lose my temper, and I'd say, "I'm so sorry," and I think it's a really good model to show your humanness to your children. There's something about that kind of humility that is really impressive. And the people who I'm most inspired by are the ones that really embody humility, who there's not a whiff of arrogance. And of course, you know, we can all get into our self-righteous mode, but when somebody really embodies that feeling of not being better than and seeing and being willing to show their humanness, it helps us be just okay who we are. You know, if you see somebody who's trying to impress just a little bit, it's not very impressive, is it? But somebody who is just completely themselves, what a gift. Then it helps you be just yourself. So practicing all of this, this is where confidence comes in. Because the more you are just yourself, and the more you're not taking credit for how wise you are, or the kindness that comes out of you, or the sincerity that comes through you, the confidence is not so much I have it together. Actually, the confidence comes from seeing it's not me. It's not me. I can't take ownership. On one hand, it is you. On another, it's not. It's not. I can't take credit for the goodness that life has given me. I can't take credit for the love that wants to come out of me. And when I'm saying me, I'm speaking for you, you know, for all of us, and for me. But to take credit for your beautiful qualities is to miss the basic point of anatta. Can you say, my unconditional love is better than yours? It doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
My pure awareness is really cool, you know, and maybe even brighter than yours. No. Awareness is just shining through all of us. And to take credit for it is missing the point. And when you are speaking from your heart, or you're speaking from a place of love and care, the confidence comes from the fact that this is something that's been gifted to you without taking the ownership of it. You know, when people talk about personal power, actually it's a kind of contradiction, I think. Personal power, if you take personal power, or if you take credit for your personal power, then all that turns into is arrogance and superiority. And sure, there are powerful people who are caught up in their own egos. I don't know, maybe you can think of somebody. You know. Many people caught up in their egos. And as you know, the saying goes, power corrupts. Power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But the true power is the impersonal power that comes when you're not taking credit, but you are channeling, standing in your truth. Like Gandhi talks of satyagraha, the truth force, the force of truth that we can tune into when somebody is speaking and it's not them trying to show how clever they are, but they're just speaking with an authenticity because they're so aligned with truth. Like Martin Luther King comes to mind, or Gandhi, you know, or the Dalai Lama, or there's a kind of fearlessness. There's a quality of fearlessness that comes from that, because there's not an insecurity that says, oh, what if they find out behind this mask that it's just this little child that wants to show that I'm tough, you know? And if you think of the people who have a misguided kind of power, I tune into their basic insecurity that needs to show how tough they are all the time. But when somebody is so aligned with the truth, there's a quality of fearlessness that comes through them. Have you seen that? Who inspires you like that? Anyone you can think of? Who's that? Who is it? I couldn't hear.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. Beautiful. Perfect. Jimmy Carter. He wasn't trying to impress anyone, and there he is just speaking the truth fearlessly. I don't know if you had a chance to see in the last day or two Jacinda Ardern from New Zealand. Anybody see her speech in the last 24 hours? Just a little clip of it. There she was. She's an extraordinary being who, up until just recently, was beloved because how seemingly pure and innocent and just good. She's kind of playful and all. But when she got up and spoke and said, it was so moving. It was so moving. We are not going to allow assault weapons in our country anymore. Sorry. And there was just a force that came through her that you knew you don't want to mess with her. As sweet as she is just speaking the truth and says, this is how it's going to be. That's the kind of confidence I'm talking about. The kind that's not wrapped up in ego at all, but you become a conduit for the truth force. And that fearlessness, that power, that strength is directly connected to the understanding of the selfless nature of reality. And this is where humility and confidence I find so close together, because in that humility that sees, oh, in a moment I can be lost. And there's a kind of surrendering of the ego that allows for something deeper to move through, that allows, creates the space for the truth to come through. The same person that says, I blew it that time, will be saying, and now I have to speak the truth. And that's what we need in this world. Fearless holders of the truth. So every time you get humbled, don't think that you've blown it and there's no redemption. Let it be a movement towards greater and greater surrender of the ego, where there's a beginner's mind and you're continually learning and you are continually committed to the truth and you're continually committed to being a conduit. And that's the kind of confidence that is unshakable. Because it's not you trying to prove a point. It's you just being used by life. And the more it comes from a place of love, compassion, not making the other wrong or evil, just seeing they're confused. Not with self-righteousness, but just seeing, as one of my favorite teachings that I often quote from Jesus, forgive them, they know not what they do. And when you come from love and compassion and understanding and forgiveness, and you have the fearlessness to be a conduit for the truth, you actually then awaken it in others as well. And that's what we need. We need as many people who are willing to be fearless in their speaking the truth, coming from a place of love and humility. That's what inspires. That's what changes this world. So we have a few minutes. If there's any comments, questions,
Al Gore is a man that's really inspired me in his just going for climate change, and it's wrong. And he said after the last no, there's a yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's many inspiring things that he has said.
Yeah,
in the face of many setbacks.
That he's and it's interesting. It wasn't until he got out of politics that the fearlessness really came through him. While he was hoping to be president, and I think he probably would have done a pretty good job because I think there's a decent guy in there. You know, as the story goes, he was listening to his handlers. You know, oh, I don't want to. What's the politically correct thing to do? And, but then when that was over, there was no holding back in him speaking the truth, no matter what people said. Bill McKibben is the same way too. You know, the great environmentalist. Just, hey, there's no time to lose here. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
And all of this in turn reminds me of the children and the young people who are emerging all over the world to really announce to the adult world that they... when you see them, I've seen them both in person and in YouTube, and I don't know, I start crying every time. It is just a pure channel. I mean, they haven't even been through everything you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. You know, the purity of that channel.
And the eloquence. They know what they're talking about. And Parkland kids is another example.
Emma Gonzalez or David Hogg or any one of them, it's like... Greta Thunberg. If you haven't seen Greta Thunberg, Thunberg, she's amazing. Just when she spoke to the Poland, the climate summit. And the interesting thing about her, Greta Thunberg, as she talks about, she's on the autism spectrum. And she talks about it. And there's a beautiful article about her, and very high functioning, but the way she in that way, that perspective, there's no nuancing. She's not concerned or afraid actually of what people think of her. So she is that fearless. And she says, I don't want your prayers. I want you to panic. You know? I don't want your good ideas. We're going down unless you do something. And there she is. She was, you know, 14 or 15 at the time, speaking to all these heads of state. Fearless. I'm here to tell you, you better get on with it. This is my world you're talking about. Whoa. Check her out if you haven't. She's amazing. Yeah, actually, my good friends. I'm fortunate to be good friends with Daniel and Patricia Ellsberg, and they were just in Sweden receiving. He was receiving some the Olof Palme Award for his work, and they met with Greta Thunberg. And I was speaking to Patricia just last week, and she said, just being in her presence, what a powerhouse. And she wasn't looking to, she wasn't impressed by anybody. She just said, we've got to do something, you know. And you could feel the power in her speaking the truth. Any other last comments? Oh, yeah. Right next to you. Put it next to your lips.
For quite some time, I've been pondering or trying to figure out how to assess or evaluate my humility.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't give myself a gold star, that's for sure. There's actually...
But how do you do it?
How do I do it? There's, and I'm just thinking, there was a line that I forgot to mention by this Buddhist writer, Wei Wu Wei. He says, true humility is the absence of anyone to be proud. True humility is the absence of anyone to be proud. And how do I do it? There's a kind of tenderness, a kind of undefendedness, a kind of, for me, the word purity of heart has always been the one that resonates with me. There's an innocence, even though there can be a sophistication and thinking that you have experience, but like the also the Jesus teaching, unless you become converted like children, you will not know the kingdom of heaven. And there's a kind of innocence and tenderness and vulnerability that comes with that undefended armor. And you just kind of, I don't know, for me, I can feel if there's any kind of armoring that I'm trying to protect or impress, and it feels very different from that softness that can be strong at the same time. So I'd say there, to the extent that there's armoring or not armoring and a kind of willingness to be vulnerable, that's how I get in touch with it. Anything for you? Just
it sounds like you self-assess.
Like what?
It sounds like you assess your humility by evaluating yourself.
I assess my humility by evaluating myself. Well, there is this body-mind process that is called James. Yeah. So this is the only laboratory I have.
I'll just make a comment then. I'm a firm believer that the worst person to assess my humility is me.
Well said. I don't usually assess. You just asked, how do I assess my humility? So I reflected on it, and those are the qualities that come out. I'm not usually giving myself a grade on how humble I am. It's just, it feels better to be real. And to be open and vulnerable. Yeah. Okay. So let's close with a little bit of loving kindness, and then wish yourself well. Appreciate your intention to become a more kind and conscious being. Without taking ownership of that, just feeling grateful. And then sending out thoughts of well-wishing from this room to all beings everywhere. May all see through their arrogance and their ego and learn true humility. While letting the truth be expressed through them, may all know the highest happiness and peace. And may our coming here together be of benefit to all beings everywhere. Thank you very much for your attention. Have a great week and see you next week.